good. How are you going to impact the world, right? How are you going to impact the world for Christ, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. So this has been a rough week, I guess. But it always is. I kind of come to expect that now. Anytime I'm preaching that the enemy is going to raise up a standard, right? But you know what? I've learned each and every time that God is greater than anything that the enemy can bring against us, right? And you know, we have to not just know that, we have to have confidence in that, right? That even as we're going through, we have to, you know, just have confidence to say, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to continue to walk knowing that God will give me the energy and strength that I need, or whatever it is I need to get through, whatever it is I need to get through, right? So, praise God. So today we'll be talking about the sower of seeds, right? This great and glorious God, right? And brand new start is our theme. But I want to look today, and it says the way of the master. This has nothing to do with what Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort are doing. There's not an evangelistic tool, if you will. It is, but it's not the one that they do, right? So I just want to make sure to make that clear. But this is looking at how Jesus is the seed sower, right? He is the one who sowed the seed right from the very start. He is the one who sowed the seed in our hearts and continues to make that grow. So we need to look at how it is that Jesus did, and what it is that Jesus did, and what it is that Jesus says to us, that we can go forth and continue the work that he has left for us, right? So praise God this morning. I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for once again, oh Father God, just showing yourself faithful, oh Father God, even through trials, even through rough periods, oh Father God, that you show yourself faithful continually, oh Father God. And Lord God, I just ask today, oh Father God, that you would work through me, Lord, that you would use this vessel, oh Father God, to deliver the word that you have birthed in my heart all week, oh Father God, this word that you desire, oh Father God, to sow into each one of our hearts, that we would go forth from here to effect change in hearts, lives, minds, homes, neighborhoods, oh Father God. Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be exalted, oh Father God. And if there any entity in this place to desire to exalt itself over you, Lord, we ask that you dispel it right now and bring liberty here, oh Father God, so that your word would go forth and that your word would flourish in our hearts. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So today's theme, I guess, is going to be centered around the parable of the sower, right? And as Pastor Raphael was saying, I've read that same parable, I don't know how many times, right? But God gave me a fresh look at that same parable this time around. And, you know, I thought it was awesome. And I really am excited to share that with you guys. But, you know, I just want you to kind of keep in mind as I go through this, that it's all centered around that, right? Around what it is that Jesus is trying to deliver, the message he's delivering to us through that parable, right? So praise God. So here, just before, this is in chapter 8, right? In Luke chapter 8, right, is the parable of the sower. But in 7, right, leading up to this, I believe that it says in Scripture that everything that Jesus did was purposeful. There's nothing he did unless he heard it from the Father first. So Jesus' whole life was done in a timely and concise manner. Nothing happened just by happenstance or by chance. Every single appointment was a divine appointment. Every single appointment was for teaching us how it is to walk and how it is to manage and handle the things that come our way, right? So here Jesus, right, he heals the centurion servant, right? This guy who's not even a believer per se, right? But he comes and his faith in the fact that Jesus could just say the words and his servant could be healed, you know, was just amazed Jesus, and his servant was healed, right? Jesus raised the widow's son, right? These are all in preparation just for this parable. If you look at how that is written in the gospel, right? Messengers from John the Baptist come to him and say, "Are you the one?" And Jesus clarifies, "Yes, I am the one. Look around. See the miracles that are being performed. Yes, I am the one who was to come," right? You can go back and tell John that, right? So he's establishing himself, right? And then the woman with the alabaster oil, right? He's sitting in a Pharisee's house. And this woman comes and starts anointing his feet with tears and drying his feet with her hair, right? And he turns to the Pharisee, who's now rebuking Jesus for allowing this woman to do that. And he turns to the Pharisee and says, "Listen, I came in, you... never offered me to wash my feet. Yet she's bathing my very feet, right? And he forgives her there and then. So Jesus is already starting to show a different way of handling situations, right? He's leading up to something that I think is very special in this parable that we can even miss. I've missed it for as long as I've read it. But Lord, open my eyes to it this time around. I think it's so awesome, right? And again, women accompanying Jesus. Women in those days, and I know that might seem normal now, but in those days that wasn't normal, right? And that was a source of criticism against Jesus' ministry, right? That he was actually allowing women to actually partake. But all this, Jesus is showing there's a new way. That he is showing us a new way to minister the gospel, to sow these seeds, right? And as we start to look in our hearts, as we start to approach our jobs, as we start to approach our households, our lives, our ministries, whatever it may be, we need to start examining, well, what is this new way? What is everything that I'm doing in alignment with the way Jesus would do it? Is it in alignment with the way of my master, right? Because that's who Jesus is for each and every one of us, right? So there's a few things I want to go through, right? So here, in Luke 8:4-8, obviously, this is the parable. It says, when a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sowers went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seeds fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seeds fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to just reiterate that this morning, right? We just read that parable of the sower, right? And so often we can look at that and say, well, it's almost as if those seeds that were scattered in those areas were being discarded, right? But that's not the message that Jesus is delivering through that as he opened my eyes to this. And we see as this parable goes through and as we unfold this, it's awesome how Jesus was speaking on an even grander level or even a deeper level in this, right? And even his actions follow through on that, right? So if we look at the sower, right? Each one of us, if you will, are sowers of seed, right? So first of all, we need to make sure the land needs to be fertilized and tilled. And as we go through this, I'm not talking about a field, I'm talking about hearts. Because as we're going out in the world, we're looking, and Jesus is talking about hearts when he's talking about the parable of the seed sower, right? He's not really talking about gravel and thorns and rocks. He's talking about the state of a person's heart, right? And so we have to be the same. How do we get to a place where we can make sure that the hearts that we're actually looking to witness to or minister to are fertilized and tilled, right? That the furrows, that the ground is actually prepared and ready to receive the seed, right? And then the land needs to have its time of rest and replenishment, right? Are we doing too much? And we spread so thin that we can't even focus on the word of God, right? That all that we're doing is just doing, and not sitting back and allowing the Lord to truly minister and to truly open our eyes. Because without that, what I'm sowing is my seed. And my seed will not produce a harvest 100-fold. Only the seed that Jesus actually, or the Holy Spirit actually kindles in me, And as he shows me the land that is already fertile, then that will produce seed of 100-fold, right? And a seed. We know the seed is God's word, right? But if the seed is not sown but kept in a satchel, it can't produce a harvest. So I can have the whole word of God. I can be as knowledgeable on the word, and I can be reading and praying and have all the wisdom, but not go out and share that with other people. It has no opportunity, right? There is no way that seed can yield a harvest, right? And again, if the word is not sown in season, I can have the word and I can go out in the wintertime and start throwing that seed around. It's not going to produce a harvest. If I go out in the wrong time, it's not going to produce a harvest. So we have to have that relationship with God also. Knowing when is the proper time. Knowing where is the proper time. All of that comes from that relationship And God, the Holy Spirit, is the one. Each one of us have been called to a task. You know, witnessing and spreading the gospel should be a yes, a daily thing. I forget who it was, but someone said, witness all day, right? And at the last resort, open your mouth, right? So that means just be a witness each and everywhere you go, right? But there are times, specific times, where God calls us to witness, to actually share the gospel message with a person because that land has been prepared, right? Do we know when those times are, or do we miss them? Do we pass right by and not realize when God is calling us or sending us forth to that particular place, right? And the last one is the ground needs to be fertile, right? If beside the road it is trampled and eaten by birds, right? So again, this is the state of our heart, right? When Jesus talks about this, right? If the seed is beside the road or falls on the road, he's talking about a state of the heart, right? And how does the heart get to that stage? Every one of us received the word of God. But every one of our hearts at some point was in this state of affair. How do we get to a point where now our hearts became ground that was ready to receive that seed, right? Someone was praying for us. Someone was witnessing to us. Someone was showing us the love of God. Someone was showing us the grace and the mercy of God, right? That is where that actually starts to happen, right? And if rocky soil, again, these are all states of the heart. Each and every one of us, there's none of us here that can say, oh, well, look at that person, you know, discard that person. And that's not what Jesus was saying either. But because every single one of us either had, where there was that case, beside the road or rocky soil, where it just sprung up, right? And there was no moisture, so it died. And, or among thorns, where all of a sudden all the cares and worries of the world came, choked it out, right? Every one of us were in that state at some point in our lives. And then our hearts, because now we can say that we're saved, right? But God's desire is that all would be saved. So God's desire, God is always working to make a heart that is in any one of these first three states into the good ground. But how is he doing that? He's using us. He's using us as a church. He's using us as a body. He has given us that charge to go forth and make disciples of all nations. So we need to look at our hearts. We need to look in our lives and say, what am I doing? How am I behaving? Is the way I'm living going to be, just as we saw in the video, is the way I'm living going to be something that inspires someone to want after that? To want and desire after a relationship with Jesus. To want and desire to have the seed of the Holy Spirit planted in their hearts, right? And then when Jesus was finished with this, right? The disciples, again, heard this parable. And again, they didn't understand exactly what Jesus was trying to say. Even though they understood the seed, they were like, well, what has that got to do with Jesus' ministry? I don't understand. And you know, I was, even, for the best part of it, I was in the same place. I kind of had got what I believed to be the message of you have just to be careful where you throw your seed, right? But there's more to it than that. So his disciples began questioning him and as to what this parable meant. And he said to them, to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. There is a whole world out there that sees the things of God, right? But yet they do not see that it's of God. They hear the things of God, but do not understand. And it is our job to come before God, to sit before God and let God shape us, mold us, create us to be that person that he desires for us to go out and be that. You know, it may be different for me than it is for you. I mean, each one of us have our own sphere of influence. Each one of us have our own jobs. Each one of us have our own households. There's different dynamics going on in each and every one of our lives. But God is able to shape and mold each and every one of us so that those who are looking at us are saying, wow, I want that. How can that person have peace through all of this? How can that person still have a smile on their face when all this is going on? Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Or whatever it is that's going to impact that heart, God will do that in our lives. But we have to be sitting before God. We can't just expect that to happen. Being a Christian doesn't mean that it automatically makes you to be the instrument God wants you to be. It gives you the potential to be, but we have to sit before the Master. We have to sit before God and allow God to shape us, to make us, to mold us each and every day. Even the trials that we face, we are not going to handle in a godly way unless we're sitting before the Lord. But as we sit before the Lord, and as we're actually trained up to sit before God, even when those trials come upon us, our first thing will be, Lord, and God will come in. You know, it's amazing how God can give us one thing, and all of a sudden, it's like the whole new world just opened up. You know, I was asking the Lord, I need to get this message together. I need to hear something. And you know, he does this to me every time. Holds off. And I'm like, all right, Lord. You know, I'm a planner. I like to have everything done ahead of time and have it actually organized. But every time he gives me, a kind of a leading, but doesn't give me the message. But then he just opens it up. And the same thing happened with this. And I was like, wow. And all of a sudden it just flowed, you know what I'm saying? That's not just the message. That's with everything. You could be looking at your finances and saying, how can I do this? And all of a sudden the Lord will open one piece up. Like, oh, how come I never saw that? You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do with our kids. We're trying to figure out what to do with whatever your situation is. God has the perfect answer for your situation. You can try all you want to figure it out, but you do not have the wisdom of God. You do not have the resources of God. You do not have the ability of God. All it takes is God to say, move, and the mountain is gone. You know what I'm saying? All it takes is for God to say, fall into place, and something that you need is there, right? But that doesn't just happen. That comes out of relationship with God. That comes from being in that place of sitting before God and knowing your Father in heaven. And allowing the Holy Spirit now to start growing that confidence, growing that faith in us. So that when we approach these things, it's like, all right, Lord, I don't know what to do. But I'm going to keep walking, trusting that when I come to that mountain, it's going to move. Because I'm trusting that you have the ability to move that mountain. And my confidence will not be shaken in that. And that's where God wants us to be, right? And we'll see as we go through this. So he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, which we know, right? Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. So he's speaking about a heart here, right? How many people do you know in your life who have heard the word of God? I know so many people. They've heard the word of God. They start entertaining and say, I don't know if I want to make that commitment yet. I still want to do this, 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 and this. The devil comes and snatches that word of God away, right? And then those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, right? But they have no firm root, right? But, you know, this is essential to kind of really grasp this parable. Jesus is not saying, cast them away. Jesus is not saying, disregard them. They cannot be saved. Jesus is showing the disciples, these are a type of people that I am sending you to reach. These are a type of hearts that need to be changed. And this is the ministry that we have been left with. This is the call that God has upon our lives. It's not that, and I'm not knocking you striving to become a better person, right? That's, yes, by all means, continue to pursue after God for that. But Jesus' instruction to us was, he didn't say, now go and perfect yourself. He said, go out and make disciples of all nations, right? That was his instruction to us. So when we become saved, our job is to reach the lost. Our job is to look at these hearts that Jesus is describing and saying, what can I do? What can I do to actually be an instrument of change in this heart? How is it that I can bring that heart? And the only way we can do that is by allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate something in us for that situation. God put us there for a reason. God gave you the talents and the abilities, the upbringing, the background, the trials, everything he gave you was in preparation for this. James says it comes to great joy, my brothers, right? When you face trials of many kinds, because when you do, it produces in you perseverance. And when that perseverance is fully met, you will want for nothing, right? So when we face trials, God is preparing us for the next heart that he's bringing into our sphere of influence so that we will be able to affect change in that person's heart. So that person's heart will go from a place that's rocky soil to a place that's good soil. And now that soil, that heart can yield 30, 60. Because that's where my heart was a rocky soil. I at one point received the word with joy, but then let it go. The word, you know, the other things attracted me, right? But God didn't give up on me, right? And that's the same with every single person who is alive. God's desire is that none would perish. So if that's God's desire, right? God is doing everything in that he can to reach each and every person. And his desire is that we would be compliant and complicit in this, right? That we would hear from him, that we would be sent, and that we would go out and reach those. And it may not even be through words. It may just be through your actions, right? At some point, words are going to have to be used. But initially, it might be just actions. Someone just noticing that you're doing something different, that you're always smiling, that there's a peace that you have that surpasses even your own understanding at times, right? And if it surpasses your understanding, can you imagine how it looks to someone who has no belief in God? Amen. You know? So we don't even understand fully the impact that we can have on people, right? And again, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity, right? Again, the same thing. How can we impact that heart? How can we be the person who, when the Lord brings that person into our life, are we willing to walk with that person? Are we willing to pray with that person? Are we willing to, you know, put ourselves out so that we can be used by God to bring that person to a place of maturity, right? But the seed is in the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, right? How many of you can say before the deposit of the Holy Spirit in you had an honest and good heart? I don't think any of us can raise our hands, right? There is not one of us who can raise our hands to say that we had an honest and good heart before the deposit of the Holy Spirit in us. So God is the one who gave us this honest and good heart. And his desire is that every person, everyone that he knit together, there is not one single soul alive that God didn't knit in together in their mother's womb. People are all, life is given by God. So yes, God's desire is that all would be saved, right? And his desire is that we would learn and that we would be complicit, that we would actually start to look to God and say, Lord, how do you want to use me? I encourage you, I implore you, even now, look at your life. Not just at a superficial level, dig in. Look at your life and say, Lord, look at all the people that God has put in your life. Look at all the opportunities God has given to you in your life. And say, Lord, which one of those? How do I reach each and every one of these places? How do I bring, which condition is this heart in? Which condition is that heart in? Which condition is the other heart in, right? Now, and this is why I say that I know for confidence, this is how God showed to me. This is all part of the same block of two chapters, right? From 7 through 8, right? And this is all a linear line where Jesus is walking on his journey, right? And the next thing he does, right, is he says this. Now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it up with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be made known, that will not be known and come to the light. So Jesus, the first thing he says after telling that parable is let your light be seen, right? That is the first thing that we need to do. As God says, let your light be seen, but our light will not even be seen if we're not continuing in relationship with God. If we're not in that place of prayer before the Lord and asking the Holy Spirit to ignite that passion in us, to ignite that sense of desire and yearning in our hearts. But as we do that, we won't even have to strive. You know, we won't have to actually be asking anybody else, how do I become a better person? You would be becoming a better person. Just being in the presence of God, you become a better person. You don't have to. You know, Jesus said, God said, he said, seek you first, right? The kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. You don't have to work to be a better person. Just spend time in the presence of God and you will become a better person. Your light will start to shine brighter. Your light will, people will start to see that light all the more. The hill that it's on will start to grow higher. You know what I'm saying? You will be put on display by God and people will actually start to see this light. This is what Jesus is telling us as soon as he tells us that parable. And then he goes on, right? So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. Well, we just said that, right? And whoever does not, even that which he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. You know, we read with joy the first piece, but we don't want to hear that second piece. And, you know, I'm not saying that you can lose your salvation, but he says what you think you have, right? And I'm saying that to anyone who's out there, anyone who's listening online, if you're pursuing after a relationship with the Lord and you're not fully sure whether you're saved, not saved, whether you've lost your salvation, not lost your salvation, my thing is, well, where's the argument whether you can or cannot lose your salvation? Just pursue God and there is no doubt that you will be saved. You know what I'm saying? Well, we don't need to debate as to whether you can or not, can't lose your salvation. Pursue after God. And I guarantee you, there will be no risk of you losing your salvation, right? You pursue after God and you will be saved if you're not saved. Pursue after God and you will continue in your salvation. So the debate isn't whether you can or cannot. The debate is, do you continue to pursue after God, right? And as we continue to pursue after God, that debate goes out the window because it doesn't matter. What matters is, are we pursuing God? If you don't have a desire to read the Word of God, right? You have lost that relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you've lost your salvation, because you can have a good friend. And I have lots of good friends in Ireland. And I only talk to them now when I go back to Ireland, right? But in between, we have lost that connection that we used to have, right? So you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but not go from one week into the week to the other and never speak to the Holy Spirit, never speak to God, right? You are not going to have a close relationship. You're not going to be in a situation and you can now hear the Word of God just speak right into the situation. We have to make it a lifestyle. We have to make it a commitment. And number one thing in our life, Lord, before anything else, I'm going to seek you first and your righteousness. Right? If we have that mentality, then we can confidently say, I can hear when God speaks. Not even that, but we can have confidence to know what God is saying in our lives, right? And the next one, the very next thing that happens in Jesus' life is, and his mother and brothers come to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And I love this. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. And he answered them and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Do not put preference on any family ties here. Now, I'm not saying don't have family gatherings. I'm not saying don't love your brothers and sisters. I'm not saying don't love your families, but don't love them over Jesus, right? Because Jesus himself here is separating the ties from any worldly ties to a spiritual tie. Anyone who is in the kingdom of God is now my mother, my brother, my sister, right? And we have to be the same way. We have to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with those who are brothers and sisters in Christ and who are actually speaking life into our lives and we're speaking encouragement into our lives so we can continue to pursue after God and we can continue to be that light on the hill, right? And the next thing that happens, right? Now, on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out. But they were sailing along and he fell asleep. I just want to point out one thing. What did Jesus say? Let us go over to the other side of the lake. They were the words. They were making it to the other side. Even if the boat went underwater, they were all making it to the other side. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. You know what I'm saying? And we have to start taking confidence in when Jesus says something. It doesn't matter what it looks like around you. When Jesus says it, take confidence in that. We have to start realizing that Jesus' word trumps anything we can see. that Jesus' word trumps anything, that this world is held together by the word, who is Jesus Christ. So if the very world is held together by the word, which is Jesus Christ, when he speaks, we can take full confidence that that's going to happen. Don't let anything else distract you from what God has said to you. Don't let any naysayer speak differently to you, right? Shut that out and trust in what God has said, right? Because this is, and it's so important to read the little things in Scripture, right? Because here it says, he fell asleep. Jesus knew he was at perfect peace. I'm going to the other side. It doesn't matter what happens between this shore and that shore. I'm going to the other side. And Jesus was in their boat. So if Jesus is making it, they're making it. You know what I'm saying? And he is in our lives. So if Jesus is making it, we're making it. You know what I'm saying? He has deposited the Holy Spirit in us. Right? So if Jesus gives you a word, you are going to make it. Right? Take confidence in that. Stop living as Christians who doubt the very word of God. The word of God trumps everything in your life. There is nothing in this world that can happen to you that the word of God cannot alleviate you from. We just have to dig deeper. We just have to know God more. We have to be able to, in that place, we can have confidence, full confidence. We have to jump in that boat and say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to the other side. I don't care what happens all around me, right? Right? But here, right? And they were, so the fierce gale wind descended on the lake and they began to be swamped and be in danger, right? They came to Jesus, woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. We know the story, right? And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. How many of you know a storm that's in your life? It's raging all around you. You can't get your bearings. You think that everything's going to fail. You feel like you're drowning, that everything is going to just swallow you whole. But Jesus said, I'm going to the other side. Right? And we can get confidence in that. We shouldn't need Jesus to rebuke the very storm. Because his word also says, count it as great joy, right? When you're faced with many trials. So that very trial was there for a purpose. That very trial was there to cause the disciples faith to grow all the more in Jesus. That even as that boat took on water, Jesus said, we're going to the other side. That's where Jesus wanted them to get to. That's the same thing for us. And as we get to that place, and as all this is surrounding us, and we're saying, well, Jesus told me I'm going to the other side, people will see that. And hearts that were once by the roadside, hearts that were once, you know, thorny, hearts that were once rocky, will actually start to become fertile soil, or at least get closer to being fertile soil, right? This is how Jesus is giving him an object lesson. As he told, right after he told that, he goes through each phase and gives him an object lesson on how to get there, right? And then he goes on even beyond that, and he says, where's your faith? They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, who is this? Then he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him, right? We're still. Oh, yeah, we were clapping for that. But how many of us truly put our faith in Jesus to that extent? I really want you to examine your heart, because it's easy to say, yeah. But how many times when we walk out of here and our car breaks down, I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or, something else happens. I don't know what I'm going to do. Trust Jesus. Seek after Jesus and ask Jesus for what is the way out, Lord. What is it that you want? How is it that I'm getting to the other side? What is the vessel you're going to get me to the other side with, and entrust in that, right? And then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And Jesus, do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. We can take confidence that even the demons that are coming against us, because we don't fight with flesh and blood. When people are coming against you, you were not fighting with flesh and blood. You were fighting with demons that are coming against you, right? But even then, if we have confidence in Jesus Christ as being the one who's going to get us through, they will recognize his authority. They will recognize his authority in you, right? And this would be their response. I mean, these were a legion of demons saw Jesus show up, and they're like, whoa, what do you want with us? And they, not only that, but they knew Jesus, Son of the Most High God, right? They knew exactly who he was. There was no question. So in the realm that we can't see, in the spiritual realm that we can't see into, there is no question as to who Jesus is. Right? So we can take full confidence in knowing that if we put our confidence in Jesus, that He will give us the success. Right? But not so that we can glorify in that. Not so that we can brag about what Jesus is doing in our life, but so people can see. They are object lessons for those who have hearts that are thorny, ones that are rocky, ones that are bad soil or alongside the road, so that those hearts can now start to become more and more fertile ground. Right? And the seeds that now we're sowing starts to yield a harvest. 30, 60, 100 fold, right? Because that's what the gospel message is for, to go out and make disciples of all nations, right? And for he commanded the unclean spirits to come out, right? So we know that. And Jesus asked him and said, what is your name? And they said, Legion. But so I'm going to skip through that, right? And then the next object lesson, and Jesus returned to the people and they welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him, right? Now I love this. This is almost like a two-for-one in Jesus' walk, right? Now, this is all after he had just told the story, the parable of the sower, right? And the apostles are following him through. These are the ones who he's going to depend on to actually build his church, right? So these are all object lessons, right? And every one of us that are saved, that is our role. Our role is to continue to further and advance the kingdom of God in this place, right? So as he's walking, right, and there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. His daughter was sick, right? And for he had an only daughter, about 12 years, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped, right? Now, I love this because Jesus is on his way already, right? He knows that Jairus' daughter is dead. So he's on his way to raise someone from the dead, right? But he also knows that this woman is going to touch the hem of his garment, right? He could have just kept walking. She had just got her healing. He could have ignored that, but he stops. And I love the way what he says. He goes, and Jesus says, who is the one who touched me? Now, can you imagine Jesus walking down the street and there's crowds all around him. And the apostles pretty much saying, while they were all denying it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. Like, why? What do you mean? Who touched you? Everybody's touching you. You know, everybody's pressing in on you. But Jesus makes a clear example of exactly what is going on here, right? This person's heart is ready. She's ready to receive, right? She's been brought to that place where she's tried everything else. And now she sees Jesus, right? And she hears about Jesus. And she hears the things of Jesus. And she knows all I need to do is touch Jesus. And I can be healed, right? That is the faith that Jesus wants us to have. That is the very belief that Jesus wants us to have. Not just healing, but Lord, I can't pay my mortgage this month. Lord, I need you to write a check, Lord. Put it in my bank account, whatever it may be. All the money, all the cattle in 1,000 hills belongs to God. If God wants you to receive a check, you can receive a check. I've experienced it. I mean, I know there's many others in this church who have experienced the same thing. So God is more than able. It is all His. It's not. It's no wonder that when we leave here, we can't bring any of this stuff with us because we don't own it. Ownership stops. Ownership stops once we leave this place because it's all God's in this place. We can't take any of it with us, right? So it's all God's. No matter how much you amass, no matter how much you have, it's all left behind you because it is not yours. But God can make it available to you whenever He wants. So He wants us to have that trust in Him, right? And then he goes on, he says, but Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me. Right? So, and again, this is not just because Jesus is some genie or some mystical creature. Jesus has power. He has power to heal. He has power over your situation. He has power over whatever it is that you are facing. He has power over every demon that tries to rise up against you. Jesus has the power. Even without being, like, Jesus knew this was going to happen, right? But even without him, you know, determining it to happen, that power went out. So Jesus has power beyond what we can even imagine, right? But yet, we fear and tremble at the smallest things. Can you imagine being out on a stormy sea, any one of us, and just having the wherewithal to say to the waves, peace, be still, right? That sounds great. You know, it's hard to even put into reality, right? But can you imagine even the wind and the waves just right at the word of Jesus? So can you imagine that no matter what situation you're in, Lord, I'm having trouble in my relationships. Lord, I'm having trouble with my kids. Lord, I'm having trouble on my job. Peace, be still. It's that simple for Jesus. But we have to trust him in that. We have to trust him for that. And as we trust him for that, our faith in him grows. And now our light starts to shine all the brighter, right? And people start to see that, and people start to become drawn to that, right? And not like a moth to a flame, where the moth gets what you call, but they are drawn like a moth to a flame, but life is given by that flame, right? It's not that they're burnt up in the flame, whatever it may be. We don't know what that is, but God does. Whatever it may be, we don't know what that is, but God does. God knows every single incident that has happened in every single person's life. And that's hard for us to actually comprehend. Because how could God know all that, right? And still have the ability to just look at each and every event and deal with every event all simultaneously. But that's the God we serve. I mean, that is the God we serve, and it is evident because he's working miracles in my life. He's working miracles in your life. He's working out situations in each one of our lives throughout the week. So if he's doing it for us, and you hear it being done in China, it's the same God. So God is able to do it all over the world, all at the same time. You know, we don't have to understand how. We just know it's happening. We know that God has the power to do it. We know that he has the ability to do it. And we know that we have that very resource residing in us. It says in Scripture, the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And is giving, and not just that, but is giving life to our mortal bodies. Right? I mean, just think about that. You need energy? Ask God. You need resources? Ask God. But don't just ask like, you know what, Lord? Yeah, okay, I'm going to ask. And then prepare for something else. Ask and prepare to receive. Don't ask with a double mind. Because James says a double-minded man will receive nothing from God. Ask and then prepare to receive. Because when we're asking and preparing to receive, we're wishing. I'm wishing that God will do something. No. When I come before God, I come before the God of all power. I come before the God who has a relationship with me, who has brought me from the miry pit and set me on high. This is the God who cares about me and everything in my life. I'm coming before that God. I'm saying, Lord, I need you in this situation. Now prepare to receive. Because as we walk in the preparation of that, then we will receive. But if we ask and start making preparations in case God doesn't show up, well, that's not faith. That's called God's my plan B. There is no plan B in God. There's only God's plan. And you trust in that. And the way you know you can trust in that 100% is have a relationship with God. There is no way to trust in God unless you know God. You can't have the confidence in God unless you know him and know him to have that power in your life. Jesus is showing this to the disciples. He's showing this, right? He's like, listen, someone touched me and power went out. And they must have been like, what does he mean power went out? What does that even mean? What does that even look like, right? Now we have the ability of 2,000 years later to have seen that power. Raise people from the dead, heal people, you know, bring sight to the blind, right? All these things, we have the ability to see that in hindsight. They were living it in the moment, right? So yes, they were a little confused about what was going on. But we have the ability to experience that each and every day. And God is urging us to do that so that hearts that are rocky, hearts that are stony, hearts that are thorny can become fertile soil. And there can be fruit that's produced 30, 60, 90, 100 fold, right? Can you imagine one life bringing 100 more? And each one of those 100 bringing another, each one of them bringing another 100. That's how, there's something called marketing. Viral marketing, I'm not sure what it is, but that's their basis, right? That's their premise. You bring in one, they bring in 10. That 10 bring in 10, right? And that's how the church is supposed to grow. That's it. That's how it happened in the time of that when you see thousands being saved, right? And the church grew and grew and grew and grew because people were believing, right? People were seeing the actual faith that the apostles, the disciples, the people who were had a relationship with Jesus were exemplifying, and they were following after that. And so when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell before him and declared, in the presence of all the people, the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Right? We read this. Changed. That's how each one of our hearts were changed. You didn't just change your heart. You didn't just come into the kingdom of God. Jesus had a plan and a purpose. And we need to be that plan and purpose in other people's lives, right? So I want to end with this. I'm going to close with this, right? It says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. So it first starts with us. Each one of us has to look at, Lord, where do I stand before you? Where is my heart before you? Where is my walk before you? Where is my devotion to you? Where is my confidence in your word? Where is my trust in what you are doing in my life? Where is my faith in your ability to rescue me in any and every situation? Right? It starts there. Right? And that's for each one of us today. We have to get to that place. And if you can't get to that place, ask the Holy Spirit. He will start to stir up that fire within us. He will start to ignite that desire in our belly. He will start to give us that yearning after the Word. Because as we start to get into the Word of God, as you start to get into relationship with God, now there's an energy that starts building. Now there's life that starts coming. And now people start to recognize. And that just carries us forth. That just carries us through. Even through times of trouble, through whatever it may be, whatever situation you're facing. You know, I could go through my last 2 weeks, and trust me, the last 2 weeks of my life were very, very difficult, right? But God, you know what I'm saying? He brought me through each and every one. There was an energy, there was a strength that I could not have of my own, right? Even today, only by God's grace, only by God's strength, I know, my family knows exactly everything I went through. I'm not going to go into all the details, but God is, I'm telling you, I know it from experience, and I'm sure all of you know the same thing. You can testify to God's goodness. You can testify to God's power and strength. But you have to get to that place where in your relationship with God, where when you're in that boat and Jesus said you're going to the other side, you don't care what comes. You don't care what shows up. Jesus said, I'm going to the other side. That's it. I'm just going to keep walking because Jesus said, you can, and David said, yeah, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? He wasn't walking through the valley of death, the shadow of the valley of death. And the enemy will try and trick us and try and deceive us and try to put things that look ominous in our lives. But God said, no, you're going to the other side. So let's walk. We are going to the side, so let's walk. And take full confidence that God is the one who is going to get us to the other side, right? And the reason is not to build me up per se or to give me any kind of fame or acclaim, right? But it's so that my life can be used as that light so that others can see the light in the darkness and can be drawn to it. So their hearts can be changed to a place that's fertile soil, right? And again, it says, bear one another's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Once again, as a church body, bear with each other's burdens. Get to know your brothers and sisters. Get to know those who are around you. Now, I'm not saying you to bear your burdens to every person, right? But I'm saying find someone who you can bear your burdens, who can bear your burdens with you, right? And walk that walk with you. A three-cord strand is not easily broken, right? Find that support group, because a man left on his own, it's not good. You know, God said that himself. We all need someone to encourage us, someone to strengthen us verbally, and then remind us of the things that God is saying into our lives, that God is saying into our hearts, right? Get that in your life. If you haven't got that now, be determined to build that group of people. Not people of the world, not to say anything, I'm not knocking people of the world. But people of the world that do not have the mind of Christ. They are not led by the Spirit of God, right? And we have to get the information, the upbuilding, the direction from the Spirit of God. And those who are, and even so, you know, if there's a brother or sister who's not pursuing after God in the same way, don't just sit back and say, oh, well, that person, I don't know what they're doing. No, get involved. Pray for that person. Encourage that person. Speak to that person. Find out, brother, what's going on in life? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? You know what I'm saying? Come beside them and find out what's going on, you know? And try and be that light to them also. Right? For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, right? Again, that's such an important message for us. Do not, no matter where God brings you to, you are still a servant of the Most High God. We are all the same at the foot of the cross. We have all been saved by grace, and we are all dependent every day on the grace and mercies of God, right? I don't care where God brings you to, right? Because God can just as easily bring you back down, right? To bring you to a place of humility. But stay in that place of humility and allow God to use what he is now building in you, what he's now sowing in you, to be a light to others, not so that you can broadcast your greatness, but so that you can display the greatness of God, right? But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, not in regard to another, right? And once again, boasting here, right? When we actually hear that boasting, it's the witnessing. It's the actual testimony that goes forth, right? That God has done this. How am I boasting in something that I haven't even done, right? How am I boasting in something that I haven't actually accomplished, but God has accomplished it in through me? So who am I boasting in? I'm boasting in the fact that I'm dependent on God. I'm boasting in the fact that I'm reliant on God. I'm boasting in the fact that I'm coming before God humbly in prayer, that I'm spending this amount of time, I'm bringing this before God. I don't have the answer, but God does. I don't know what to do, but God does, right? That's my boast, right? And I can boast that for myself, but do not condemn another. Come beside them, alongside them, and build them up, and allow them to also be able to have that boast, right? For each one will bear his own load, right? The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Again, the reason I'm closing with this, right, is because it is so important as a church body that we live a life that is number one, dependent on God, but number two, that we're sharing with each other, right? What is God doing in your life? Sharing testimony, sharing the witness that God is doing, sharing the events that you're going through even. So someone can come along and say, no, let me show you. Let me show you how God did this for me. And that person can actually have the same, their faith can be built up, right? Because if we're not doing it in the house, if we're not doing it in the family of God, if we're not doing it as a community of the kingdom of heaven, as we're not doing it as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, there is no way that when you leave here and you're faced with the trials of this world and then the pressures of your job and the pressures of your family and home, that you're going to be able to do it there. So we have to be able to do that. We have to be able to come together as a church body. We have to be able to come together as a brothers and sisters in Christ and build each other up, right? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And I really want to leave with, it's not just a message of yes, do, but just remember, whatever you sow, that is what you will reap. If you sow idleness, you will receive from that idleness, right? If you sow sin, they say the wages of sin is death, right? And you will experience a spiritual death, right? I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But there will be a distance between you and God. There will be a roadblock, if you will, to your in your ability to hear perfectly from God. So we have to be very focused on, Lord, where is it that you want me to sow? Where is the ground that I'm supposed to be sowing in? And where is the ground that I'm supposed to be tendering? Where is the ground that I'm supposed to be witnessing to bring it to actual ground that is actually able to receive that seed, right? And for one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Once again, restating what I just said, right? Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And that's the key. Do not grow weary of doing good, right? It may feel like an uphill battle sometimes. It may feel like you're fighting the world. It may feel like your every demon is coming at you, right? But we've just seen Jesus has the power to overcome every bit of that. Jesus can easily just say, "Calm, be still." He knows the trials that we need to endure to build us up, to strengthen us, to actually cause perseverance to be built up in us. And he knows he will never give us more than we can bear. So if you feel there's something that's more than you can bear, right? It's not. What God wants you to do is dig deeper. Come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I need your strength to get me through this. I need your, open my eyes so I can see what you're doing. Open my ears so I can hear. Let me be attentive to what you are doing, because you have told me that you will not give me more than I can bear. So I know I can bear up under this, but I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need you to get me through." And Jesus will. He will rise up, and he may not say, "Peace be still," but he will give you the endurance you need. He will give you the strength you need. He will give you the clarity you need. He has the power to do all that and over anything that you're facing, right? So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are in the household of the faith, right? So let's start here. And as we start here, building up our brothers and sisters, as they start encouraging one another, then take it out with you into the world. Because Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." That is our charge. That is what we're meant to be. That's where we're actually looking at the soil. That's rocky soil. That's thorny soil. That's along by the roadside. God, how do I minister to that? Is it by word? Is it by example? Is it by deed? Is it by, you know, giving to that person? Whatever it may be. But we cannot hear. We will not know unless we're in that relationship with God. So I want to encourage you today. Stay grounded in a relationship with God. If you're not there, if you're not in a place where you're waking up and you're spending time with the Lord before you go about your day, start. Because there's no words that I can say to you. There's no other way I can tell you to get there except start there. Start with Jesus. Follow through with Jesus. And end your day with Jesus, right? If you do that consistently, Shalane was talking about consistency. If you do that consistently, I guarantee you that when you're going through the trials and storms, when you're going through and you think the boat is sinking, you will be able to say, no, Jesus said, "I'm going to the other side." Jesus said, and you will be able to stand up over whatever trial, and your confidence, your faith, your assurance will grow. Now, the enemy may start to come, even start to bring the images of things, because he can't touch you. How are you getting through today? If you haven't started with Jesus, if you don't continue with Jesus and end with Jesus, you're getting through on your own strength, and your own strength is limited. Your own vision is limited. And the enemy will, the images and shadows that he casts will cause you to fear and doubt, just as the disciples did when they were in the boat. But if you're pursuing after Christ, if you're in that relationship with him, the Holy Spirit will give us that ability to say, no. Jesus already said, "We're going to the other side." And we're going to the other side, and I am going to be an instrument to change hearts to fertile soil. So praise God today. Hallelujah. Power in the name of Jesus. There is 할렐루야, 할렐루야. 할렐루야, 할렐루야. 할렐루야. Even that song says it, right? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Not some chains, not some events in your life. Every chain. Everything that is causing you to fear, everything that is causing you to doubt, everything that is causing you to struggle, Jesus has the power to set you free, to bring liberty to your life. Not just so that you can be proclaimed and risen up, but because that you can be a light on the hill and you can be seen by those who are struggling, and that their hearts can now move from their hearts that are thorny, that are rocky, and become fertile ground. So I pray today that you would start your day with Jesus, continue your day with Jesus, end your day with Jesus, and that Jesus would lead you to a place where you have confidence that no matter what you're facing, Jesus has said, He is in your boat. And He has said, we are going to the other side. So we have confidence in that. And as you go through this week, ask Jesus to make that your confidence. But know Jesus. Know the Word of God. Know what He's saying in your life specifically. Not mine, not Pastor Raphael's, not your neighbor's. But what is He saying to you? And start to walk in preparation to receive from Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your word today, Father God. We just ask that you build in us the faith, the endurance, the trust to know that there is power in your name. There is liberty in your name. There is freedom in your name, Lord. Start in this house. Bring liberty and freedom to minds, to lives, to hearts, of Father God, so that we will be able to go out and show those who are around us, Father God, the light that they need to bring them to a place of fertile soil, so that your seed may lay hold of their hearts and bring them to a place of yielding fruit and harvest 30, 60, 100-fold. But we just ask, oh Father God, that you would have your way in our hearts, our lives, our homes, that you would be glorified, and that you would continually lead us and guide us into all that you have for us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altars are open if you need prayer. Hallelujah.